the world's great novel. Universally acclaimed as one of the superb tales of the sea is the story of a great white whale and of Captain Ahab's fatal monomania in pursuing it. The NBC University of the Air presents the fourth installment of a four-part radio edition of Herman Melville's adventurous classic, Moby Dick, another in the series of books that live, the world's great novel. Refusing to give aid to Captain Gardner of the Rachel, in search for Gardner's son, who had been lost but a few hours before in an encounter with Moby Dick himself, Captain Ahab ordered all sails bent in instant pursuit of the great white whale. And when last seen astern, the Rachel continued tacking to and fro in despairing search for its loss.
This is Ishmael again, mateys. That night, in the mid-watch, when Captain Ahab stepped forth from the scuttle in which he leaned, he suddenly sniffed the air and declared that a whale must be near. Soon, that peculiar odor given forth by the living sperm whale was palpable to all the watch. Ascertaining the precise bearing of the odor as nearly as possible, Ahab ordered the ship's course to be slightly altered and the sail to be shortened. His acuteness was vindicated at daybreak by the sight of a long sleek on the sea directly ahead, smooth as oil, with pleated watery wrinkles bordering it like polished metallic marks of some swift tide rip. Flattening his face to the sky, Ahab called to the watch high overhead in the cross trees.
Up there! What do you see?
Nothing, sir!
Stabbock! Tuck out and sail, stencils, a low and aloft on both sides. Man the mastheads. Call all hands.
Aye, aye, sir.
All sail being set, Ahab now cast loose the lifeline reserved for swaying him to the main royal masthead. In a few minutes, they were hoisting him thither. Two-thirds of the way aloft, he suddenly raised a gull-like cry in the air.
There she blows! There she blows! A hump like a snow hill. It's Moby Dick.
The men on deck rushed to the rigging to behold the famous whale they have so long pursued. Look, Ahab has now gained his final perch some feet above the other lookouts.
And did none of you see it before, men?
I saw him almost the same instant, sir.
Hey, but not the same instant. Not the same. So the $20 gold piece is mine. Fate reserved it for me. I alone. None of you could have raised the white whale first. There she blows! There she blows!
I look at it. The appalling beauty of the vast milky mass is lit up by the spangling sun, shifts and glistens like a living opal in the blue morning sea. Now Ahab lowers himself swiftly. He reaches the deck.
He's going to sound. Stabbock, in stunsels. Down topgallant sails.
Aye, aye, sir.
You, Stubb, have the boat swung out. Three of them.
Aye, aye, sir. All right, step lively, lad. Push the cranes out. Lively there, I said.
The cranes swing out, and now the sails are being reefed. All hands are moving at top speed.
Mr. Stabbock.
Aye, aye, sir.
Yes, sir.
Remember, Stabbock, stay on board and keep the ship.
Very well, sir.
Helm there. Luff. Luff a point. So. Steady, man, steady. Mr. Stubb, all ready, the boat's there?
Ready, sir.
Moby Dick's heading straight to leeward, sir, away from us. He can't have seen the ship yet.
Be dumb, man. Stand by the braces. Hard down the helm. Brace up. Shiver-er. Shiver-er. So, well done that. Man the boats, man.
Now they're manning the boats. Ahab, with his heathen crew led by a sinister Chinese harpooner, Fadala, run to the captain's boat.
Lower away, Stabbock.
Aye, aye, sir.
Quick! Quicker!
Aye, aye, sir.
Quicker!
The rattle of blocks and tackles as the boats now drop to the water.
Set the boats loose.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mark you. We'll have no talking men, no chatting. When you lay on the oars, lay quietly.
Understand?
I'll
head the onset. Stand by the oars. Give way together. We lead out, Fadala.
Yes, Captain.
A pale death glimmer lights up Fadala's sunken eyes. A hideous motion gnaws his mouth. Now the prows are moving silently through the sea, slowly nearing the foe. Only the oars are heard. The ocean is as smooth as a carpet. Moby Dick seems completely unsuspecting. Now his entire dazzling hump is distinctly visible, sliding through the sea, ringed with greenish foam.
Way enough. Trail oars.
Far out on the soft Turkish rug sea glistens the white shadow from the whale's broad, milky forehead, and behind him the blue waters flow into the moving valley of his steady wake.
Look at him, Fadala. Not the white bull Jupiter swimming away with ravaged Europa clinging to his graceful horns. It surpassed Moby Dick. Aye, so peaceful, thou vesture of tornadoes. Yet calm. Enticing calm thou glidest on, O whale. Thou glidest on no matter how many thou hast bejuggled and destroyed before. But I know you, Moby Dick. I, Ahab, know the deadly terror of that submerged jaw. He rises. Quick, my harpoon!
For a moment, the whale's whole marbleized body forms a high arch. His bannered flukes wave in the air as though in warning. He sounded. Gone under, disappeared from sight.
Too late. He sounded without warning. Stand by to reef.
Captain, the seagulls.
Seagulls are circling Ahab's boat, wheeling round and round with expectant cries.
What do they see?
Peering overboard, Ahab suddenly glimpses a white living spot, no bigger than a white weasel, swiftly uprising.
It's Moby Dick. Look, Fadala. Look. His white glistening teeth floating up from the undiscoverable bottom.
The glittering mouth yawns beneath the boat like an open-doored marble tomb. With his steering oar, Ahab hurls the craft powerfully aside.
Stand by to stern. Fadala, my harpoon.
Too late. With almost malicious intelligence, Moby Dick again slides his head beneath the boat. He's taking the boat's bows full within his mouth. His jaws loom high up into the air on each side, the inside of the jaws within 6 inches of Ahab's head.
Thus I spit down your very throat!
But Ahab can't get at him with his harpoon. Moby Dick is shaking the boat gently like a cat with a mouse. He's dallying with it. They're doomed.
He's going to snap the boat! Jump, men! Jump, Fadala!
Like enormous cheers, Moby Dick's jaws have cut the boat in twain. Now he's swimming around the men in circles. He seems maddened. The other two boats are helpless to come to their succor. Where's Ahab? There he is, his head like a bubble in the very heart of the whirlpool. Moby Dick is circling closer, and Ahab seems to be the object of his terrible circling. He's crying out.
Sail on! Sail on, the whale, Starbuck! Drive him off!
Starbuck's doing it. The Pequod's prow is breaking up the deadly circle. They're saved. Moby Dick is swimming sullenly away. Now the boats are speeding to the rescue.
Here we are, sir. All right, catch hold of him, men. Steady. Easy. Easy now. There.
Never mind me. The harpoon. Is it safe?
Aye, sir. Caught to that bit of wreckage there.
Any missing men?
None, sir.
Good. Help me up, Stubb. I wish to stand.
Aye, sir.
So I see him. There, going to leeward still. What a leaping spout. Hands off from me. The eternal sap runs into my bones again. Here comes the Pequod. Douse the sails. Out oars.
Aye, aye, sir.
Completely splintered my boat.
Like the thistle did to the ass, it picked his mouth too keenly, sir.
What soulless thing is this that laughs before a wreck? Did I not know thee brave as fire, I'd swear thou wert a poltroon.
Oh, aye, sir. 'Tis a solemn sight. An omen. And a bad one.
Stifle that old wife's darkling hint. Mankind either sweats with fear like Starbuck or laughs like you. Ahab stands alone among the millions of the people there. But the wind, I'd blow no more on such a miserable world. Back to the ship, and after Moby Dick again. Aye, my harpoon will yet taste the sweet flavor of his blood.
Back aboard the ship, Ahab ordered her canvas stacked high up and sideways, outstretching it with stumsails. The ship tore on, leaving such a furrow in the sea as when a cannonball becomes a plowshare and turns up the level field. The day wore on to twilight.
How now aloft there? You see him?
Cannot see this boat now, sir. Too dark.
How heading when last seen?
As before, sir. Straight to York.
Hear that, Starbuck? He'll travel slower now it is night. Down royals. Helm there. Keep her full before the wind. Men, this gold is mine, for I earned it. But I shall let it abide here till the white whale is dead. And whosoever first raises him upon the day shall be killed. This gold is his. And if I again raise him on that day, then 10 times its sum shall be divided among all of you.
So saying, Ahab placed himself halfway within the scuttle, and slouching his hat, stood there till dawn, except at intervals rousing himself to see how the night wore on. At daybreak, we were again thrilled with the cry.
I knew it. He can't escape. Blow on and split your spout, oh whale. The mad fiend himself is after you. Blow your trump. Blister your lungs. Ahab will dam off your blood as a miller shuts his water gate upon the stream.
The men seen as one, welded into oneness by the sight of Ahab, and directed to that fatal goal which he points to. Suddenly, Moby Dick bursts into view less than a mile ahead. Rising with his utmost velocity, the sperm whale thus booms his entire bulk into the air in a mountain of dazzling foam, showing his place to the distance of 7 miles and more. Such breaching is his act of defiance.
Aye, breach your last to the sun, Moby Dick. Thy hour and the harpoon are at hand. Down! Down, all of you from the mast! But one man at the fore! The boats, stand by!
The men, like shooting stars, slide to the deck. Ahab stumps rapidly to the spare boat, followed by his phantom crew. The boats are manned.
Mr. Starbuck, the ship is thine. Keep away from the boats, but keep near them.
Aye, aye, sir.
Lower it away.
Moby Dick has turned. He's heading towards the three boats.
Spread yourselves. We're pulling straight up to his forehead.
The white whale's coming. He's charging. He's rushing among the boats with open jaws, lashing out with his tail in appalling battle.
Death to Moby Dick! Oh, whale! Here's the harpoon!
They're trying to elude him, but the whale is everywhere, twisting and turning. He's tangled the harpoon lines. He's dashing two of the boats together. They smash like eggshells. Now he's sounded. Moby Dick dives down into the sea. He's disappeared in a boiling maelstrom. The two crews are clinging to the oars and line tubs. They're afraid of the sharks. Ahab stands in the prow of his own boat with another harpoon, waiting. Moby Dick shot up from the depths and struck Captain Ahab's boat with his broad forehead. It's turning over and over in the air. Now it's fallen, gunwale downwards. Ahab and his men struggle out from under it like seals. There he goes. Moby Dick is satisfied this time. He's swimming away to leeward, trailing after him the entangled harpoon lines. God help me, where will all this end? As before, the Pickard bore down to the rescue, dropping a boat to pick up the floating mariners. Last aboard was Captain Ahab himself, who had to be helped on deck, for instead of standing by himself, he half hung upon the shoulder of Starbuck. His ivory leg had been snapped off, leaving but one short, sharp splinter.
Aye, Starbuck too sweet to lean sometimes, be the leaner who he will. Would I had leaned oftener than I have.
No bones broken, sir, I hope.
Only this dead one, split it to pieces. You, Carpenter.
Aye, aye, sir.
Tonight, make me a new leg.
Eh?
And this time, fashion it out of a piece of steel pipe.
Aye, sir.
Aloft there! Which way?
Dead to the work, sir!
Up helm, then. Step, pile on the sail again. Down the rest of the spare boats and rig them.
Yes, sir.
Oh, how this splinter gores me.
Let me help thee toward the bulwark, sir.
Give me something for a cane. That shivered lance will do there, Stubborn.
Aye, sir.
There. Where is he? Oh, no. By heaven, it can't be. Fadala! Fadala! Speak up!
All right, lad. Stand by to shake out the reeds. Hoist away!
Fadala!
I saw him caught among the tangles of your line, sir.
The black vomit rents thee. Find him. Not gone. Oh. Aye. Gone.
Yes. I saw him dragged under.
Gone. What means that? Oh, my harpoon, too. Toss over the litter there. Toss over the litter. Do you see it?
Aye, sir.
The forged iron, Starbuck.
Yes, sir.
No. Oh, blistered fool, this own hand of mine did dart it. Tis in the fish. Aloft there! Keep him nailed!
Aye, aye, sir!
Starbuck, put all hands to the rigging of fresh boats. Collect the oars. New irons for the harpooners. Stubb, hoist those royals higher and put all the sheets.
Aye, aye, sir.
Helm! Helm there! Steady! Steady for your life! I'll 10 times girdle the unmeasured globe. Yea, and drive straight through it. But I'll slay Moby Dick yet.
Captain, never wilt thou capture him. 2 days chased, twice stove to splinters. Thy very leg once more snatched from under thee. Fadala, thy evil shadow gone. And all good angels mobbing thee with warnings. What more wouldst thou have? Shall we keep chasing this murderous fish till he swamps the last man?
Starbuck. In this matter of the whale, be the front of my of thy face to me as the palm of my hand. A lifeless blank. Ahab is forever Ahab. Why, you fool, 'twas rehearsed 1,000,000,000 years before this ocean rolled. I am fate's lieutenant. I act under orders. And look thou, hireling, that thou obeyest mine. I may be cut to a stump and leaning on a shivered lance. But Ahab's soul's a centipede that moves about 100 legs. And ere I break, you'll hear me crack. And ere you hear that, know that Ahab's hawser tows his purpose yet. Moby Dick will rise once more, Starbuck, but only to spout his lust.
God keep us all, sir, but my bones feel damp within me.
So Fadala's gone. And he was to go before me, according to his prophecy, but still was to be seen again ere I could perish. Ha! How's that, Starbuck? There's a riddle now might baffle all the lawyers.
Fadala, harpooner in Captain Ahab's boat. The mysterious Oriental that seemed to hold such sway over the captain's thoughts had made unto Ahab a strange and cryptic prophecy.
I prophesy that ere thou canst die on this voyage, 2 hearses must be seen by thee on the sea. The first not made by mortal hands, and the visible wood of the last must be gone in America. And though it come to the last, I shall still go before thee, thy pilot. Ere thou canst follow, I must still appear to thee to pilot thee still. Know ye also, Captain Ahab, that hemp alone can kill thee.
So once more the sail was shortened, and all night the men toiled by lanterns, rigging the spare boats and sharpening fresh weapons for the morrow. And the carpenter made Ahab another leg. The morning of the third day dawned fair and fresh, and again it was Ahab who was the first to cry out,
"Aloft there! What do you see?"
"Nothing, sir!"
"Nothing, sir. And the gold piece goes a-begging. A stomach. I've oversailed him. Forgot the harpoons he's towing. They've slowed him down. So now he's chasing me, not I him. Turn the ship about. Man the braces."
"Aye, aye, sir."
"Smile, Starbuck. We shall meet him soon."
An hour passed. Gold beaten out to ages. Time itself now held her long breaths with keen suspense. And then, 3 points off the weather bow, Ahab descried the spout again.
"Aye, there he is. Forward to forward I meet thee this third time, Moby Dick. Stand by to reef, Starbuck. He'll be here soon."
"Yes, sir." "Stand by to reef, Mr. Stubb."
"Stand by to reef, lad."
"Lively there, men, or I'll tap one of you with a top ball."
Now they're reefing the sails. The whale hunters are once again manning their boats and swinging them out preparatory to lowering away.
"Mr. Starbuck."
"Sir."
"Starbuck, for the third time, I start upon this same voyage."
"Aye, sir. Thou wilt have it so."
"Some ships sail from their ports, and ever afterwards are missing, Starbuck."
"Truth, sir. Saddest truth."
"Some men die at ebb tide, some at low water, some at the full of the flood. And I feel like a billow that's all one crested comb, Starbuck. Shake hands with me."
"Go not, sir. Go not, I beg you."
"Nonsense. Lower away. Stand by the crew."
They're off again. Ahab in the lead. Starbuck seems nervous.
"Aloft there. Keep thy keenest eye upon the boats. Mark well the whale."
"Sharks following the captain's boat, sir."
"Oh, is this our journey's end?"
The white whale has sounded, but Ahab holds his way to be near him at the next rising. The head waves hammer against the bow of his boat.
"Drive in your nails, oh ye waves. To their uttermost heads, drive them in. Ye but strike a thing without a lid. No coffin and no hearse can be mine. Hemp only can kill me."
There he is, Moby Dick. His vast form shoots up from the sea.
"Give way, men."
"Captain, look! There's Fedallah!"
Lashed around one of the harpoons sticking out of the whale's back is Fedallah. His dead, distended eyes are turned full upon Ahab.
"Hey, Fedallah. I see thee again, and thou goest before. And this whale, then, is the hearse that thou didst promise. But I hold thee to the last letter of thy word. Where is the second hearse? Back to your oars, men. The first to jump from this boat, I harpoon. Where's the whale? Gone down again?"
"No. He's still on the surface, swimming slowly away."
"Captain, the sharks crunch on the oars."
"Heed them not. Pull on. Tis the better rest, the shark's jaw, than the yielding water."
"But the blades are growing smaller, sir."
"They'll last long enough. Pull on." "Aye. Aye, all alive now. We near him. Hey, my harpoon. Softly now. Softly."
They're ranging along the whale's flank. Ahab stands in the prow, his body arched, both arms high lifted with the harpoon. He's going to throw it.
Clear into the socket!
Moby Dick writhes and wheels round to present his blank forehead at bay. What's happening? He sees the black hull of the Pequod. He's going to attack it.
Starbuck sees him.
He's coming this way. He's going to attack.
He smashed in the big good starboard bow. Torrents of water are pouring into the ship. She's going down.
My ship, the Hearse. The second Hearse. Its wood could only be American. All ye sweet powers of the air, now hug me close. Death, glorious ship, must ye then perish, and without me? Oh, lonely death on lonely life. Oh, from all your furthest bounds pour ye now in, ye bold billows of my whole forgone life, and top this one piled comber of my death. Towards thee I come, thou all-destroying but unconquering whale. To the last I grapple with thee. From hell's heart I thus snap at thee. I spit my last breath at thee. Thus I give up the spear.
He darts his harpoon. Stricken pale flies forward, and he's fouled the line. Ahab stoops to clear it. He does. Wait. It's caught him around the neck. He's shooting through the air. He strikes the water. He's disappeared into the ocean's depths.
And I only am escaped alone to tell thee, mateys. Like a phantom, the ship stood on end, then dove to her watery grave, and sucking concentric circles, seized the boats, the men, the floating oars, the lance poles, everything animate and inanimate, round and round one vortex, carrying the smallest chip of the Pequod down out of sight. Floating on the margin of it, a half-spent suction reached me and drew me towards the gurgling bubble of its axis. Suddenly, the coffin lifebuoy shot up from the sea, fell over, and floated by my side, and I seized it. The next day, a sail drew near, nearer, and picked me up at last. It was the devious cruising Rachel that, in her retracing search after her missing children, only found another orphan.
Moby Dick by Herman Melville is one of the world's great novels. Brought to you each week by the NBC University of the Air. Next week, we will present a dramatization of The Old Wives' Tale by Arnold Bennett. Remember that these and countless other great books are to be had in your local public library. To enhance your enjoyment of these broadcasts, NBC offers you Herbert Gorman's Handbook of the World's Great Novels. Just send 25 cents with your request to World's Great Novels, Post Office Box 30, Station J, New York 27, New York. I'll repeat that address. World's Great Novels, Post Office Box 30, Station J, New York 27. Moby Dick was adapted for radio by Frederick Slick. The music was composed by Emil Soderstrom, and the orchestra was directed by Bernard Berquist. The entire production was under the direction of Homer Heck. Ishmael was played by Everett Clark. Captain Ahab by Jess Pugh, and Starbuck by Donald Gallagher. Others were Joe Anthony, Boris Apollon, Gil Ferguson, Cliff Norton, and Arthur Peterson. This is John Conrad. This program came to you from Chicago and has been a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.